Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Tariq. We saw yesterday that Janet Yellen gave a lot of comments, and this has moved the markets slightly. Dollar advances, and Brexit poll is also around the corner, and the dollar gained ground against major rivals this week. Do you think that the risks have been abated following Yellen's comments?
Actually, in our view, the dollar basically sold off quite aggressively right after the comment. So earlier on this week, it's probably just recovering some of those losses. Our broader view is that the dollar is more likely to be to consolidate or remain more range-bound, at least against the major currencies, given this scaling back of rate hike expectations. However, there are still some areas, particularly commodity currencies like your Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar, and Canadian dollar, where we still expect dollar to actually retain the upper hand.
Speaking about commodity currencies, do you think that these commodity currencies are going to see some sort of a rally, because the European stocks as well as the US S&P 500 saw a lot of rallying in terms of the commodity companies?
No, we don't believe that, you know, the rally in commodity currencies is likely to extend for two reasons. First is that this week the monetary policy in Australia and New Zealand is coming into focus, and New Zealand, we actually expect a rate cut by the central bank there. So there's a lot of pushback from policymakers against strength in their currencies. And number two, the focus is also returning to the fundamentals in China. Now, earlier on this year, we saw a lot of enthusiasm in China based on improving macroeconomic data. But more recently, there's signs that that is settling down and returning to more normal levels, more closer to what we've seen, in the last year or so. Given that backdrop, we don't think that commodity prices can rally substantially. So if you look at the oil story, oil has already rallied all the way up to $50 a barrel. And from here on, it doesn't look like there are a lot of catalysts to push oil much higher at this time. We believe oil prices will actually go higher towards $60, $65 a barrel by the end of the year, but there's probably more of a chance of a correction in the interim. Having said that, commodity prices have, the headwind from the dollar has in fact reduced, as far as that is concerned. So we were a bit, for the Fed policy statement, we were a bit more bearish on commodities, but now it's kind of, we've sort of tempered that that view a bit.
Saudi Aramco IPO is well underway in terms of being prepared. There's a case here that the IPO could be highly deflationary for oil. Do you subscribe to this view?
Well, we believe that the Saudi strategy has been to actually win market share overall and get more interest in its oil sector. And from here on, there seems to be very little spare capacity for Saudi Arabia to actually expand production further. So they already running quite close to capacity. So from that perspective, they're already pretty much doing all they can. But beyond that, we don't really have strong view in any specific sector.
So Finland has been stripped of its AAA rating. What does it mean to Finland, and what does it mean to Europe in general?
The focus is obviously the fundamentals, the debt situation, in the local economies, which is quite important. We believe that, that's not likely to go away anytime soon. But, the more important factor is the economic momentum, which has picked up a bit. But, overall, we probably wouldn't be surprised to see, more such downgrades if that, economic momentum doesn't sustain.
Let's look at the U.S. jobs numbers. The Labor Department of the U.S. states that companies created just 38,000 new jobs last month. Now, this is significantly below from the 155,000 to 160,000 jobs that was forecasted by economists in the country. Do you think there is a slowdown in the U.S. economy, particularly in the jobs market?
First, we do have to understand that a lot of these numbers, and particularly the job numbers, is volatile. We do get a lot of, revisions into previous numbers, and so on and so forth. So we wouldn't attach so much importance to one data point if you consider the broader backdrop. Like, last week we had, the manufacturing, the services, the consumption data that was pretty constructive. However, having said that, the number was quite disappointing, and for a Fed that is very, very sensitive to economic data, they're probably more comfortable maybe remaining on the sidelines for the time being. So I think it's too early to conclude that, you know, there is a major slowdown in the U.S. economy, but it's probably from a policymaker perspective, you know, it would warrant some caution.
Well, will there be some breakout of stocks as the jobs report actually hit the market, particularly in the consumer sector and as well as some other sectors there?
I mean, in the short term, there is certainly likely to be some enthusiasm or some more bullish sentiment. But overall, if you look at the broader picture, you know, you look at China, you look at data overall, as well as valuations in the stock markets, it doesn't look like, you know, we are poised for a major rally. Our, you know, investment view is actually towards more caution, moving towards more bonds, increasing more bonds in the portfolio. So we are not, we don't subscribe to the view of chasing, you know, the equity and commodity rally higher from here.
So speaking about bonds, the Treasury yields actually moved after Yellen's report. Do you think this is a cause for concern for analysts?
Treasury yields, well, if you look at the short-term yields, I mean, they fell quite a bit following the job numbers, and, you know, they've only recovered very slightly. Overall, yields are still quite low from where actually they were before the Fed or before the U.S. job numbers. There is, of course, you know, some possibility that if the Fed rate hike is actually starts to get more priced in, then that yields could move higher, and that could result in some losses on treasuries. But from this point, I mean, given the Fed very, very dovish and tempered outlook, then it's unlikely that yields can really shoot up from here.
Let's move towards Asia. We saw last week Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe surprised markets in Asia by announcing that he would delay a planned sales hike by 2.5 years. Do you think that this delay is longer than what is anticipated by many market analysts?
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible because it really depends on the economic momentum. If one of the objectives of actually economic stabilization and more towards bullish inflation outlook is achieved, then it's certainly possible that they will follow through with the schedule. At this point, they've already have been talking about, you know, delaying this rate hike, and it's largely to do with the domestic economic situation. It's certainly possible, but it'll have to be seen how improvement there is in the Japanese economy.
So do you think that Japanese negative interest rates is going to, you know, continue on? Does seem that Japan is sort of like facing some sort of deflationary measures right now.
It is. I mean, deflation issue goes back quite a while in Japan, and more recently there hasn't been a lot of evidence that this is really improving. There isn't a large propensity for consumer in Japan to actually spend their additional sort of income that they're gaining from higher wages. It's actually a very tough sort of question to answer. Probably, you know, it's unlikely that this situation is going to change in the near term, like 12 months. It's probably a multi-year sort of situation.
And finally, let's focus towards Europe. The Brexit vote is 2 weeks or 3 weeks away. Do you think that the market is going to change much following the Brexit vote?
Our view is that more likely than not, UK will vote to remain in the European Union. And once that happens, you can expect substantial rally in sterling assets, particularly the pound. But obviously, there's quite a bit of uncertainty between now and then, because polls are going to swing in both directions, and it's not going to become very clear until the results are out themselves. Plenty of volatility to go, but our view is at this time that the vote will be to remain.
Okay, so with this view that the vote will be to remain in the Brexit, what would this mean to German companies, French companies? Do you think they will move following this vote?
Well, I mean, the most immediate spillover is likely to be on the euro, on the euro currency. Obviously, even though a lot of this negative sort of sentiment wasn't really incorporated too much in Europe, but there's certainly companies and certainly the currency is likely to follow up on some of the positive momentum in the UK. But obviously, the primary beneficiary is going to be the UK assets themselves.
And that was Tariq Ali, investment strategist at Group Wealth Management at Standard Chartered Bank, who is on the phone and on the line with us from Singapore.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.